Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon, and I hope you enjoyed the study with Pastor John Lutz here just before. And I want to thank Pastor Lutz for letting me take over his men's Bible study last night. I had a great time with the men there at North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood and for the Bible study. And that actually gave me, I think, show prep for today. So I kind of bounce off from that with some things for today. So I appreciate the men there and questions, and actually Pastor Lutz for allowing me to fill in for him last night. And then, of course, hope you'll be able to stick around here at 2 o'clock. Pastor Andy Rusnacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid will come on, and always enjoyable. He'll be on from 2 until 2:30, so I'm sandwiched in between these two guys, and I hope I'll be a blessing as well today. And of course, we give you the option. The toll-free number is 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we can get you on this afternoon. Generally speaking, we get more calls on our Sunday night program, because we're on every Sunday night from 11 o'clock until midnight right here on this same station. And then, of course, I pastor the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. We're located in northern Summit County, midway between Akron and Cleveland. We'll have more information on that coming up here. But also, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find links to various things, our church, our Facebook, or you can go straight to Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And then, as we get to it here, I'm trying to push all the buttons while talking here. We will have the live stream from YouTube over there. You can find us on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and look for our Live with Pastor Al channel there, and you can follow us on there. We've got past programs on there, and also our church, the Bible Baptist Church, we've got a YouTube channel there as well. You can find all that out. If nothing else, just go to livewithpastoral.com, and you'll find links to all of those things right there. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and get our program started here this afternoon with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Oh, I just pray that you would bless the program today. Use it for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ that are searching. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And most of all, we just pray that we could lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through it all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to get into a couple of things here, I see we've got a caller calling in, so let me just mention a couple things before we get to our caller real quick here. I want to mention there was a praise out of Columbus, and sometimes when we see things happening in Columbus, we really have to scratch around trying to find things to be thankful for. But I just wanted to mention this past week, House Bill 164, which is known as the Student Religious Liberties Act, was signed into law by Governor DeWine. He did something right here. State Representative Tim Ginter had sponsored this legislation, which protects prayer and religious expression in public schools. And there are some other aspects to it, but the most important there is that this bill recognizes our First Amendment rights and under the U.S. Constitution, also recognizes the Ohio legislature's rights or responsibilities, I should say, under the Ohio Constitution to protect the religious freedoms of Ohioans. And so this one here will ensure students' rights at public school to engage in religious expression in the same way that students can participate in secular activities. So that's a praise, and you can go online. You can find out more about that if you go to ohiohouse.gov. That's ohiohouse.gov. Click on the legislation link there and look up House Bill 164. So thankfully that made it through and it has been signed into law. Well, like I said, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. We've got Nancy calling in right now. And Nancy, welcome to the program this afternoon.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. I was just so impressed with and inspired by Pastor John Lutz's message, which, of course, I'm always inspired by yours and Pastor Andy, but it just really hit home with me. I'm a little bit of a health nut, you know, with diet and exercise. And, you know, what's so interesting is the exercise, the way I keep healthy is by walking or swimming. Now, I've been swimming when I'm able to, you know, I couldn't swim anywhere for 2.5 months during the, you know, COVID-19.
Right.
Weekend. I've been back to swimming the last 2.5 weeks, which I'm so happy. But that is my opportunity to witness to people.
Mm-hmm.
That's my main platform when I share the gospel with people. I strike up conversation with people at the swimming pool. And so I'm sort of hitting two birds with one stone.
Right.
During the shutdown, I would go for walks in various parks, you know, like for half hour, an hour. And it was just real easy for me to strike up conversations with people, like if they had a cute dog or a cute outfit. And then eventually I start witnessing to them. So it's through healthy habits that I was able to be holy and witness. And well, anyhow, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but it was sort of like an avenue, an opportunity for me to share the gospel, which I love to, you know, share the only way to heaven. I've already told you and many other people about my car accident 4 years ago, where I could have died. I could be in heaven right now. The semi truck hit me, and I'm getting sort of emotional just thinking about it. God miraculously saved my life. I was hit by a semi truck and miraculously delivered to the grassy medium. My car was total, but I was totally okay. And I just told God that I just wanted to share my faith with anybody that would listen. So,
and God does open up doors through our experiences. And like you said, through that, you know, God had a purpose for you being here. And one day we'll get to heaven. You'll find out what that purpose was. Maybe you'll meet people in heaven that are there today because God gave you that extra time.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And I won't keep you because there's so many issues you probably want to cover that are going on in the world. I just wanted to share that one little thought, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Bible study tonight.
Oh, yeah, and that's a reminder. We have our Friday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road, right there in Richfield, right off from 77 in the Turnpike, right there where they come together. And we've had a number of people who've been visiting, and Nancy, some of you people have been visiting from the Euclid area, and we've others from other areas coming in on Friday night. It's always been a blessing. We had a great problem last week. We had to get some extra chairs out, didn't we?
Yes, that was very exciting. That was the most people I've ever seen there.
I think that was the most that we've had on a Friday night Bible study. So
I think it was like 25 or 30. I'm not sure. But
it was at least 25. I know that.
Yeah, at least 25, yeah. So anyhow, looking forward to seeing you tonight. I just, like you, I just love the format of your Bible study. It's so relaxed, you know, and it's for 2 hours, and people can chime in with their questions or comments.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real regimented. It's very relaxed. But you're still learning the Word of God. And then, of course, you cover current events, but you always put a biblical spin to it. You always look at it from God's Word. Well, thank you very much. I'll let you go because I know you have a lot of issues to cover in today's, which I could I could comment on them. I'm very, yeah. I'm sort of a news junkie like
that. Yeah. Well, it's but, some of us have to be, I guess. Not everybody has to be, but yeah. I think God gives some of us that interest for a reason.
I enjoy it. I enjoy it.
I appreciate that, Nancy. Thank you so much for the call.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. And again, just a reminder, our Friday night Bible study is open. Anybody like to come? And it is relaxed. It's we have refreshments, and we just everybody kind of brings up questions and things about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, kind of the way we do things on the radio on Sunday night in particular. And it's a relaxed time to try and figure out just how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, if that's the question that comes up, or where did Cain get his wife, or something like that. I mean, we've actually talked about those things, but we've also talked about other things. And one of the things that we've talked about is the signs of the times and the idea that we're in the last days, but how do we know that we're at the end of the last days? And by the end of the last days, I mean the time immediately preceding Christ's return to the earth, the catching away of the believers, the 7-year tribulation period, and then Christ's appearance and setting foot on the Mount of Olives, and then entering into Jerusalem, into the temple. And you know, the Bible talks about us being in the last days, and people have been expecting the imminent return of Christ. This is what we consider a fundamental of the faith, that Jesus Christ is going to one day return to this earth. And Paul wrote to Timothy or Titus about that in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. He referred to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing. And the blessed hope is the catching away of the believers, and the glorious appearing is the actual moment when Jesus returns to the earth. And this was foretold when Jesus ascended up into heaven. There was the promise that he would return. And in Acts chapter 1, as the disciples watch Jesus ascend from the Mount of Olives up into heaven, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Now, let me mention right there, first off, that the cloud intercepted him, and he was taken out of their sight. He did not go up and up and up and up. If you've ever watched a balloon that somebody has let go, and it gets smaller and smaller and smaller until finally you lose sight of it, that's not what happened. He ascended up, and he got up into where a cloud received him out of their sight. And the idea is that he entered into heaven at that point. And so while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, that continues here in verse 10, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven," which means he's coming in the clouds, and he's coming back to the Mount of Olives. Now, that's the event that takes place at the end of the tribulation period, during the Battle of Armageddon, at a time when the world is poised to completely destroy itself. The Bible says that Jesus Christ returns in power and glory as he comes in the clouds with the armies of heaven with him. And Zechariah chapter 14 describes him setting foot on the Mount of Olives, and the mountain literally splitting in two. And there is, as we've talked about before, a fault line that runs right through the Mount of Olives, exactly in the direction that Zechariah mentions in Zechariah 14. And if the earthquake was to occur, the Mount of Olives would split in two, exactly as prophesied in Zechariah chapter 14. Isn't that interesting? God planned it that way. It's already prepared and ready to go. And But the thing of it is, when Jesus ascended up into heaven, even in those very days, they expected the imminent return of Christ. And like I said, this is a fundamental of our faith as Bible-believing Christians, that Jesus is returning, and his return is imminent. But there are some signs, and there are some things to give us indication, because even though the people at that time believed that Jesus was coming in their generation, we also understand that there are certain things that must take place. And over time, people have worried that perhaps Jesus was coming or had come and they missed him. And in 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2, Paul says to the Thessalonians, starting in verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." He doesn't want them to be afraid that something's going to happen. Perhaps they would miss it, that it's happening. And there's all kinds of things. And when I was at the Bible study last night, the question come up dealing with the last days, and how do we know that we're toward the end of the last days? A good way to put it is, how do we know that we're in the latter part of the last days? And when you think about it, there's many things that have to take place before Jesus can return to this earth. If you go back 100 years or so ago to the beginning of the 20th century, in the time of World War I, people thought that this might be it. This was called the Great War, the war to end all wars. People thought this was going to set the stage and the Lord was going to return, and perhaps we were living in those last days. And this has happened time and time again down through the centuries. And yet people today around the world, Christians, are saying that they have this sense that we're in the latter hours of the last days. And if that is true, what would distinguish this time from previous times when people thought that the return of the Lord was imminent? Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says in verse 1, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." And for time's sake, I'm not going to read any more right there at the moment, but the idea is we should be watching and waiting, and we should know that we're in the season. And this illustration of the woman in travail, as travail upon a woman with child, the woman with child knows that she's going to deliver the child. She doesn't know exactly day, the exact hour, the exact minute that baby is going to be born. But as she gets closer, there are signs that take place, and to eventually she begins the sign of early labor. And she begins having labor pains, and they start mild and infrequent, and they become more intense and more frequent, until finally culminating in the birth of the child. And this is the illustration that Paul used here about the return of Christ. Let me go back to a passage in Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel chapter 12, the Bible talks about some of these prophecies that Daniel received being sealed up until the time of the end. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And then a little further down, he says in verse 8, "And I heard and understood not. And then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" And he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, and the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." And he goes on to talk about some of the things that will take place in the latter part of the last days. And one of the ways I believe that we can know that we're in the end of the end part of the last days, that we're at the time when the return of the Lord is very close, I believe, is because these words in Daniel are being opened up to us today in a way never before. He also said there in verse 4 that the book would be sealed up in a time of the end, and then there's a colon, and it gives us a clause that says this: many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And when you look at the ease that we have to travel to and fro today, all around different places, in Daniel's day, and even up until 100 years ago, it took a long time to travel places. Now we can be across the country in hours. We can be from here to Europe in hours rather than days or weeks. And many run to and fro, people out on the highways. I noticed today, I was looking at the traffic on the highway coming to the radio station, how much the traffic has increased getting back to what it was before the coronavirus shutdown. And then knowledge shall be increased. The level of increase of knowledge is exponential right now. I shared this with the men last night. I said, my grandfather, who was born in the late 1880s. If you would have taken somebody from the 1880s, 1890s, 1900, and you would have taken them 100 years back in time, they probably could have gotten along pretty well. You could have probably taken them back 200-300 years in time, and life would have been roughly the same. But if you brought them 100 years into the future, they'd go crazy looking at the things that we take for granted today. For those of us who can remember life in the BC era before computers, you remember what it was like to go to school and do all your homework and all of your study on actual paper and ink books, and having to do all your work on a paper, not on a tablet. A tablet, when I was going to school, was a thing of paper, and you used a pencil or a pen on your tablet. Your input device was the pencil or pen. And so knowledge has increased exponentially. And I think these are some of the signs. And then other signs. Another sign, I believe, is given in Luke chapter 21, where we see the nation of Israel has come together as a nation once more. In 100 years or so ago, it seemed pretty unlikely that there would be a Jewish nation occupying Jerusalem and the Holy Land. And now, of course, since 1948, the middle of the 20th century, when Israel became a nation, and there's a statement in that Jesus makes in Luke chapter 21, where he talks about the, I'm going to have to find it here. I had it just a moment here. We'll come back to it here. I'll talk to it here in just a minute. But he's talking about the fig leaves. I'm quickly running out of time here. and the fig leaves, the fig tree blooming, are shooting forth its leaves. And that's an example, again, of Israel. Luke chapter 21, verse 29, spake a parable, behold the fig tree. And he says, and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. For verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. And, the generation, what does that mean? Does that mean that when Israel became a state, an independent nation, the fig tree representing national Israel, and then, of course, the other countries around Israel gained their sovereignty during that time. Of course, the oak of Bashan representing Syria, the cedars of Lebanon, and others, and we see them all getting their sovereignty, their independence during that same time frame, and that suggests the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And so does that mean somebody who is alive at that time will be alive when the millennial kingdom is set up? I think so. Could it mean perhaps that that means that somebody within the period of time, as the Bible says in Psalm 90:10, 90:10, or if by reason of strength 80, which means 70 or 80 years, that would be the time for the Lord's return. That puts us in that time. The time is ripe, my friends. We need to be sure that we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. We only can be sure by knowing Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and then encourage others to trust Christ as well. Thanks for listening. We're out of time. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.